So what I wanted to talk about this week, and what I'm hearing from a lot of different people on the reset, is how to incorporate some of these changes into their everyday life or how to make the reset work for them. And so I just wanted to take a couple of minutes at the top of this call and just kind of talk about the flexibility of the reset and talk about how you can make it really mold it to fit your family. I know there was some concern this week about the number of calories, and last week Allison and I talked about kind of upping the calories as necessary through snacks to make sure that you were getting what you needed. Our nutritionist, Allison, made the reset plans to be between 950 and 1,200 calories per day with the assumption that snacks would be added in. And so definitely make sure that you are getting a minimum of, you know, her recommended is 1,200 calories. But, like, for me and my boys, I have two boys, 9 and 10, and they need much more calories. So we've been supplementing with shakes, just almond milk, banana, or almond milk, peanut butter, something like that. So definitely know that it can be customized. And I will start to put up some additional snacks on the Facebook boards and through the daily emails so that everyone is getting enough calories. And some of the questions that are coming up are about how to sustain these habits, right? And right now the reset is pretty clean. There's no dairy, there's no grains or gluten. I know some of you are supplementing with rice or quinoa for their families or something like that, and that's fantastic. Moving forward, you know, I've been on the reset for about 4.5 weeks now. And there's little things that I'm doing to sustain the habits. One thing that I'm doing that I'm finding to be really, really helpful is the quality of my food now has become so important to me. And so every decision I make is based on the quality of the food. And that's a sustainable habit that you can take with you after the reset and kind of do that mental check, right? The reset's about conscious eating. It's really about figuring out, you know, why we're eating certain ways, when are we eating, when are our difficult points during the day, how are we making sure that when we're social and out in the world and not in our own kitchen that we're making good decisions. And for me, it really comes down to doing that mental check of, is this a quality food decision? And there's been a couple of times this week when I've really caught myself and said, wait, this isn't quality food, so why would I eat this? And even with anything, like if you're going to break reset or you're, you know, at a birthday party or you're, you know, in a social environment of any kind, out with friends, celebrating an anniversary, I think just taking that extra minute to think to yourself, like, there's always a better decision to make when it comes to food. And the quality decisions that I've made, I know I really have been off of sugar, and that's been great. Yesterday, my husband and I were out, and we were like, you know what? We really want to have a treat. Like, we really haven't had sugar in 4.5 weeks. So we went to a very reputable bakery and got, you know, one slice of opera cake, and we were going to, like, have a couple of bites each. And we both bit into it, and it was green to burn, and we were like, oh, this isn't good. And my old habit, we would have eaten it anyway. And I know that's good, like, you know, but the old me would have just eaten it because it was there and it was sweet enough and I wasn't concerned about. And we looked at each other and we just said, this isn't worth it. It's not worth it to, it's not a treat if it's not something that is going to make us feel good and we know it's with quality ingredients and it doesn't even taste great. So I would encourage everyone to kind of start to make those decisions about the quality of what we're putting into our bodies on a day-to-day basis. And again, that's really something that you can take with you for a lifetime. And, you know, store-bought treats, and they might not taste the same to you after the reset. And don't force it. If it doesn't taste good, don't, you know, eat it. There's no reason to eat a bad store-bought cookie when there's so many other wonderful whole food treats that you can be having. So I would definitely say that that's one of the things that you can take forward with you. Lots of people are joining the call. I just want to make sure everybody knows if they have a question or when, anything that they want to share with the community or get support on, if you hit *2, that'll raise your hand and I can unmute you. Another habit to take into the reset is really just this prep work. And I know that so many of you have kind of said, wow, this is a lot more work than normal. And it is. I'm not going to lie. Eating well is more work, but the reward is so great. What I get from eating well, what I get from taking the extra time to prep and make sure that I have great food around me is a sense of well-being and energy and feeling good in my skin. And I feel like I'm more productive. I feel like I'm contributing more because of the way that I'm eating. And I don't think we can discount that. And, you know, I know we've gotten into this thing as a society that everything has to be quick and convenient and that, you know, 5-ingredient 20-minute meals and everything, you know, has to cost $3. But it really is about, like, what are we willing to do? What are we willing to sacrifice to put good food in our bodies every day? And I am willing to sacrifice a half an hour on my computer or a half an hour in front of the television at night to spend in my kitchen making better food for myself and my family. And I think it just comes down to a decision and a choice about priorities and what you're willing to do to have that great feeling. And there is a trade-off. And part of the reason I wanted to do the reset is because so much of the time in the industry of food and meal plan, I hear over and over again that it's too expensive to eat healthy or it's too expensive to eat organic. And I dispel that notion every single week with the First 20 and with this reset plan. You might feel like you're spending more, but it's really not spending more when you break it down into servings. And so if it's the same price to eat takeout as it is, or even less expensive to eat whole foods at home, and the real cost to you is time, then that's just a decision that has to be made on a family-to-family basis. But I think it's a really important distinction that anything worth having and anything worth achieving is going to require extra work somewhere, and the prep is the extra work. So let's talk about prep for a second. Some of the things that might be taking long and are, for me, it's onions. So I do all my onions up front in the beginning of the week, and a great trick for that is to use a food processor to just get them done, to chop up or shred any type of carrots, any type of peppers, anything like that. So if you get it out at the beginning of the week and you prep all of that stuff in advance, a food processor is really, really quick and easy way to do that. And there's some really good economical food processors out there, some mini food processors out there that are under $100 range. And I really recommend them if you're going to continue to prep and eat fresh food. Also with the prep, I hear that a lot of people are doing it their own. There's some pictures up on the Facebook pages. Some people are emailing us in pictures. It's really, like, it can be such a community thing for a prep. And in your family, it can be something that you do together. And it can be one of those activities that gets everyone involved in doing something together as a family. So don't discount using your family or your friends to help you prep. I love prepping with my family. I love, you know, giving, and my kids really feel like they have an investment in what they're eating when they're prepping. And I think that's an important thing to have them see how the food that they're eating is being made. And I feel like it's building an appreciation for what we're eating, and even an appreciation for, you know, eating so clean or eating really good food that they can see that that's happening. So try to bring supporters into your prep time. I know some of it, sometimes I hear the argument is, but I just want to get it done. I just want to get it out of the way. I want to be, you know, I can do it so much faster. And I am that way sometimes too, but I think it's really, really important to remember that eating is such a communal thing, and prepping can be part of that community experience, and sometimes going a little bit slower so that the people around you can take part and have ownership is equally as important. And you'd be amazed at how much fun you can have in the kitchen, and how much your friends, family, kids will talk when you're actually building a meal together. So I would definitely hope that the prep, you can make it into something that is really, really kind of experiential, I guess I would say. I'm going to pause here for a second and see if anybody has any questions. Again, it's *2, or anything that they're really struggling with, you know, something that is just they're not hitting it, or they haven't even started yet, and they're just kind of watching. I know that there's been some people that have reached out and they said, gosh, I really want to do this, and I'm kind of lurking, and I'm watching the boards, but, you know, I'm not quite sure if this will work for me. Ask. That's what we're here for. So I'm going to go, let's see, this is Deborah in Denver. Deborah, can you hear us? Can we? From Denver, Colorado?
Sorry, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, hi. I forgot. I had it on mute. Sorry.
I figured. How are you?
Hi. Okay, so I have a couple questions. One is there a Facebook page for the non-vegetarian reset? Because I can't seem to find it. And that was just like a, you know, logistic question. And then
okay.
My other question, or maybe some advice, is I'm a massage therapist, and I work generally through lunch hours, you know, because that's when clients come in, right? And
mm-hmm.
I book on the hour, so I don't have time. Like, I can eat maybe, you know, some almonds or grab like a handful of berries, and I'll do that in between clients. But I generally find I can't eat lunch till like 3 or 4. So what's happening is I'm not really eating lunch. And then
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to prep for dinner, and I'm a complete disaster because my blood sugar levels are,
mm-hmm.
you know, non-existent. And
right. Yeah.
And then what happens is I end up getting like crazy bloated and gassy. It just feels awful.
Right.
So like I'm not getting, and also like I do try to up the snacks because I exert a lot of energy with work and I do feel like I need a little extra.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, any advice on stuff that I could be eating other than what I am in between?
Well, tell me, what does your day look like as far as your schedule? Like, what time are your first clients coming into the office? Because sometimes it's a matter of just when you realize that you're off schedule from everyone else, it's a matter of just adjusting your schedule so that you're eating kind of something like breakfast-y, right? So that you're eating.
Right. I do eat breakfast. I eat breakfast, and I usually start working around 9:30 or 10. And I usually work until 3.
Okay.
And so then,
so,
like, I have to go to 3, but then with the family, it's like the family wants to eat dinner earlier than me, especially my husband who's doing this with me. Like, he comes home from work, and it's like, yeah, I'm ready to eat dinner, you know, 5:30 or 6. And I'm like, well, I just,
right.
you know, maybe just had lunch, or maybe I just ate a bunch of snacks, or I'm freaking out because I can't make dinner because I'm hungry.
No, I completely understand. I would say this. You somehow, I mean, even if it's just scheduling clients, like for a 15 to 20 minute break in between the hours of 10
well,
and 3.
Well, ideally that would be awesome if I worked for myself, which I used to, but I now work for two different places. Well, one place I do get 15 minutes in between, but the other place I don't. We book on the hour, and I'm booked. So I truly am, like, grabbing a handful while the next client is getting on the table. So, I mean, I guess what I really need to do is, you know, eat breakfast before and then, like, just eat lunch late. You know, like, I just have to eat lunch at 3.
I would do
whatever.
Things like, so it's too hard to eat a salad really quickly, right? And that's
right.
Like the easiest thing to keep on hand.
Yeah.
But I would
do
things, so when I get really busy and I'm at a conference or something like that and I can't eat and I, like, nuts are not enough, what you can do is pack things for lunch that are really simple but packed, like, really, really high calories, right?
Right.
You do something like cubed sweet potato, right? So the night before or at the beginning of the week, throw a couple of sweet potatoes in and roast them,
okay.
Right? Then when you're having those almonds, you can have, like, you can be, like, just eating sweet potato instead of just the nuts. Right?
Right,
and that might
right.
do a little bit of a calorie push. So things like yeah. that. So something that you don't have to, like, build a whole salad, or make a big quinoa salad that you keep in your office, right?
Yeah.
And make one for the week and put, like, sweet potato, raisins, nuts, everything else, so that it's there and you can literally, like, between clients, maybe even every hour, right? Between the
right.
clients, can have a few spoonfuls of that. So that
okay.
that blood sugar doesn't drop. So just keep
okay.
something that's easy to eat that you can take. But I agree with you. You have to eat more than nuts. The low blood sugar and not eating between 10 and 4 is really throwing you off. So
yeah, it really
I
is.
Would just make, like, a hearty, like, you know, vegetable things that are really sustainable for the week that will keep, you know, for a few days. And I would just make it so that they're packed full of calories. Sweet potato is a really good one. Add some nuts to that. Even, like, roasted Brussels sprouts are really easy to eat, you know, in a pinch. And I would keep, like, a box of roasted chopped veggies so that's
okay.
what I'm snacking on. And I'm snacking on those, like, every hour on the hour. So when you get done with your client, you go to the break room and literally have a couple of bites of that so that – really, you're just trying to make sure that blood sugar is not dropping and that you're not – it's too hard on your body. And believe it or not, there's a huge cost to you doing this repeatedly over and over and over every single day of not giving
right.
your body fuel. And just
yeah.
imagine, like, the energy that, like, your last two clients are getting, a completely different energy from you than they're getting from a 10 o'clock, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely, for sure. Okay, so what about, like liquid food, because I can definitely do, you know, smoothies, because I can bring those in with me. Like, I'll do, like, you know, almond milk and, like, a protein powder. Is that, I don't know if that's
yeah, I mean, I always like to,
not.
Yeah, I always like to keep it as whole as possible for my smoothies.
Okay.
If you have a really, like, great, clean vegan protein powder, I find the ones that have milk kind of make me feel bloaty. They kind of, like, they don't, you know, agree
as much.
Oh, yeah,
I don't try not to use the milk one.
Yeah, so if you have a good, like, a vegan one, that's great. Or just mix together, do you have, like, a NutriBullet, like a little, that you can make a smoothie, like in a
minute? Yeah, I have a Ninja, yeah.
Okay, so in the Ninja. So I would just
By the
do,
way,
like,
for everybody out there, it's the greatest blender ever.
Yeah, they're really
great.
So great,
fast, yeah.
And yeah.
yeah. And it
so,
just
yeah,
purees everything.
Almond milk. Always have bananas on hand because those are really, really easy.
Okay.
Like a frozen banana and some almond milk and maybe a little bit of either a nut butter or even a little bit of just, like, really pure organic cacao powder might give you
okay.
a little bit
yeah,
of extra.
Yeah, I've been doing a little bit of that.
And, yeah, no, those are great to do.
Okay.
So between
right.
those two things, you should absolutely – but if you just have to eat smaller on the hour, every hour, and make that part
yeah.
of your day, it's much better than waiting. Everybody on the call, I really want you guys to know that the best thing that you can do for your body is feed it. And not let your body go like more than 3 or 4 hours without putting something in it, even if it's just like a handful of almonds or a snack or a piece of fruit or something, because your body is thriving on good food. And so I definitely recommend. So that's what I would say, Deborah.
Sounds great.
For you, on the hour, every hour.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Small. And then what about
the Facebook page? So if you contact Laura at the community manager, because she added everyone. Something weird happens to the large group is in the regular Facebook page. But it's like a secret page, and so you can't find it. So if you go into your Facebook messages, like where they put all of the messages of people that you don't know, look there, because there's probably an invite from Laura there for you to join.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Cool. All right,
awesome. Thanks. All right, you guys, so again, just press if you have any questions or any wins for this week, something you want to share, something that worked. For you this week, it's *2 on the telephone. And I'm going to check in with Allison right now. Hold on 1 second, Allison. I'm going to unmute you. Allison's our nutritionist. You're unmuted, Allison. How are you this week?
Good, Melissa. How are you? Hi, everyone.
I'm really good. So I so relate to what Deborah just said, Allison, because, you know, sometimes, you know, I realize that my blood sugar is going really low and I'm, you know, so I do that a lot. Like, I just try and eat a lot of little snacks throughout the day. So what do you think about that, and what other advice would you have for her?
So I heard most of what you said, Melissa, and I think what you said is spot on. I, having worked with a variety of different individuals, I have what I call, like, my 3-hour eaters, my 4-hour eaters, my 5-hour eaters. And it just depends from person to person. It kind of depends on how long of a stretch their body will tolerate. I never let people go for more than 5 hours, but usually 3 to 4 is kind of that magic number. And what happens over time is that your blood sugar will drop between meals, and depending on how long you've gone, it might drop pretty significantly, even if you don't have any issue with blood sugar. And then suddenly you eat and it rises, but then it can just plummet again, you know, in a short period of time. So if you have, what you should have is sort of these little bumps throughout the day where you're going up and down, kind of like small waves. But if you have an ocean full of really high waves where they're just coming crashing down, and then they boost up and then they crash down, and that's what's going on when you go for those extended periods. Also, when you eat something really high in sugar without balancing it out with protein. Also, if you just eat a protein and don't get a sugar in, it's going to take a long time for your body to say, hey, I just got nourished, because it needs that sugar. So exactly with the nuts comment, sweet potatoes are awesome because they have just enough sugar to kind of balance out the nuts and give you that quick-acting energy, and then the slower energy from the protein, and even more, the staying power of fiber, which will also just help keep you full. So sweet potatoes, roasted garbanzo beans that you've already roasted and kind of packed up for yourself in advance. I like, for my kids, I do roasted garbanzo beans with some dried fruit, with usually diced dried apricots as a snack, because they kind of balance each other out in that same way.
So I'm addicted, by the way, to those roasted garbanzo beans. I mean,
amazing,
I really haven't eaten them before, so if anybody has not tried the roasted garbanzo beans yet, they're so good. I mean, now we're just, like, roasting them, you know, on the weekends and eating them like popcorn. So I have to kind of be careful because they're so good.
And garbanzo beans, they're fairly flavorless, but you don't need salt, is what I've learned. You can just use a tiny bit of salt. You can add so much flavor depending on what you like. So my kids love it with cinnamon because they like kind of the sweet taste. So I put, you know, just a pinch of salt and probably a quarter teaspoon. I don't really measure it worth the cinnamon on theirs. And for my husband, he looks spicy, so I do pepper and a little bit of, you know, and I make it really flavorful, and they'll pick up whatever flavor you put on them, which is great.
Awesome. We have another question. Let's see. I'm going to – so you're from Chicago, Illinois, and it says Keenan is the last name. You're unmuted.
Oh, hi. This is Marcella. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I had a couple questions too. I'm cooking for one, and you know that when the scaled down recipes, a lot of times it's part of a piece of produce. So I'm sort of having trouble keeping it, especially the avocados, keeping it fresh. And I love all the avocados, but you know I'm having trouble like keeping them for the next time that they're used. And then
okay.
The other's a little nutrition based, and it's just I've been experiencing some nausea in the morning. I didn't know if that was normal, if there was something I should be trying to do about that.
I'm going to take the easy question for the avocado and leave the other one to Allison.
Great.
For the avocado, just put a little bit of lime on the exposed part, and then you can just wrap it in cellophane or put it in an air. So you want to remove the air, right? That's why it's turning brown on you. You just want to make sure that wherever it is, it's airtight. But I just put like a little, just I just kind of brush it with lime. And then sometimes if it just gets brown anyway, I just literally trim that little piece off. And once you've cut it, I don't keep mine. Once I've cut them, I put them in the refrigerator. Because if you leave them out, once you cut them, they get mushy really, really fast. So I would do those two things. There's also there's a company that makes these and I'm just looking to see if I know the name of the company. They make these things that are vegetable savers, and they wrap around all of your fruits and vegetables, and they're like these little, I'll find it and I'll post it to the Facebook board. But it's they come in all shapes and sizes, and you literally like set your fruit or vegetable down face down into it, and it makes a vacuum seal around it. It's really kind of cool. And I'll try, maybe while Allison's answering the question about the nausea, I will try and find the name of those. Allison, what would you say for the nausea in the morning?
Okay, first I'll add to the lime juice, any citrus works. So if you don't like lime for whatever reason, or if you have kids, use orange, use a fresh orange, and just use a quarter of it and squeeze it on there. That works just as well. So keep that in mind. In terms of the nausea, I don't really know. I'm assuming there's no existing conditions
right.
that you'd be working with a medical provider on. But there's no real reason, unless the nausea is associated that I can think of, with extreme hunger. So if you wake up and you're really hungry and kind of feeling nauseous at the same time, it might mean that you ate too early in the evening and your blood sugar kind of dropped too low because you've gone all those hours now. That's the only thing I can think of. Just from, you know, not knowing you and not having a medical history, and, you know, I don't really want to give information that could, you know, but just the basic idea of it. Sometimes when you're eating lower calories and you're spacing them out, people forget that eating at 6 o'clock and then not eating again until 8 o'clock in the morning. The same way that all throughout the day it can also cause problems at night.
So maybe you get the snack around, I don't know, like 9 o'clock or something.
I'm sorry?
Would it be good to maybe have a snack around 9?
Exactly. And nothing big. It doesn't really need to be anything major. It can be, you know, if you're cutting an orange already, it might be a couple of wedges of that orange that you've cut up to use on your avocado or to keep your apple fresh. It might just be a couple of tastes of that orange, and then maybe 5 cashew nuts. You know, something very, very simple, but just enough that your blood sugar doesn't go from 6 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock a.m. with having nothing in your system. See if that helps. It's the only thing I can really think of that would have changed substantially over the course of, you know, the last week.
Right. All right. Thank you. Oh, and one other thing. I was wondering if these calls are recorded, because I missed last week.
They are recorded. And last week we've been waiting. Like I forgot to hit record, so we've been waiting for the backup from the company. And so I'm so sorry. But there's 3 from the first reset, and then I'll post this one. And then as soon as I get the backup from last week, I will post it as well. So there should be 5 total recordings, and we'll put those on the download page for everybody.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone else? If you have a question, please hit *2. And if you're on the webcast, there's a chat box. So if you have any questions, you can put your question into the chat, and we can look at it there. So, Allison, I know another one of the things I really wanted to talk about this week, we talked a little bit about sustainable habits moving forward, and two of the sustainable habits were to continue prep, to look at prep as a communal activity, to, you know, really have it be in, something that you're doing, you know, a few times a week together, or, you know, even if it's alone, it just becomes a habit that you're planning and you're prepping. And then the other was the idea of only eating quality food and making decisions about quality food. But moving forward, like, let's think about, you know, after the 20th day, right? What would you say would be your number one suggestion for keeping as many of the habits of the reset intact going into, you know, let's call it quote-unquote real life?
So it's hard to narrow it down to just one. My number one is, if it doesn't grow in the earth, don't eat it, as a general rule of thumb. I think there will be times where that doesn't happen. There will be times where you're somewhere and you're offered, you know, a slice of pizza, you're at your kid's birthday party, or there's an event and you kind of have no choice. But when you have a choice, if it doesn't grow from the earth, just choose against it as much as possible. And that's one of those really sustainable habits, because what I find is when we start falling into a trap, it's when we just start doing things and not acknowledging them, or acknowledging them and giving ourselves grief. So if that pizza happens or that ice cream cone happens, just saying, okay, now I know it's happened, I'm aware of it, and I'm going to use that to improve my decisions in the future. I know that's really easier said than done, but taking the time to really take note of it during this period, and then keeping that level of just understanding yourself and understanding where you might falter a little bit, so that you don't end up giving yourself grief for just falling off track a little bit, because it's bound to happen.
That's okay. That's just part of life, but it's just taking ownership of it. So I guess if I had to put one word on it, now that I've said a lot more than one word, it would be taking ownership for yourself and over your decisions, to know that you're in control. It's not the food that's in control. You're in control. So you're going to say, I'm choosing to eat this, or I chose not to eat this, and now I can move forward and do this better the next day, or you know, eat more things that I know are unprocessed and whole foods moving forward.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's really important. And I felt, you know, I don't know if you were on at the top of the hour when I was talking about Trent and I yesterday. We were kind of like, you know what, we really want to consciously have a treat. And it felt so good to be in control of that moment and say, you know, I do want something sweet. We want to go and, you know, have a treat together. And then when it wasn't good, it felt so powerful to be like, you know what, I don't have to eat this just because it's chocolate and it's in front of my face, because it's freezer burned and it's not the quality that I want to put in my body. That was a really good moment for me that I clicked in and I said, wow, like, that's a good habit. I was really just kind of proud of that moment of like consciously eating and being in control of what I'm putting in my body, no matter what moment it is. Right. And that is a really powerful habit to start to create. So I love that you said that, because I think that's something that we kind of miss. Food is such a trigger for so many people, and food has been such a trigger for me my whole entire life. I don't know if everyone on the call kind of knows a little bit of my story, that I struggled with food most of my life, and it was something that when I was early on in my life, I ate out of comfort, and then it was out of convenience, and then it was just out of stress, you know, and then it was just out of, I don't have time to eat, so, you know, I'm just going to put anything, I'm just going to eat anything right now because I have to, which is something that so many people that are, you know, with their busy schedules and everything else, that's how our society is eating now. It's like, well, I don't have time, I'm just going to grab a bag of chips. So food has always been a real struggle. So through the Fresh 20 and through kind of constantly having these moments where I'm trying to reset my body and reset my habits, the relationship with food now is so healthy and it is so powerful. And at least I know when I'm going off the rails that I'm consciously making that decision. And I didn't have that before. It was never conscious. It was very emotional, and to get out of that cycle is something so incredible that I really want for everyone to be able to get out of the cycle of, you know, eating out of emotion or eating out of from a really not powerful place. So I totally appreciate that you said that, Allison. Okay, if there are no more questions, Allison, do you have parting words for this week? As we're on, let's see, we're on day, what are we on? We're on day 9, I think, or day 8? We're on day 8.
Yes.
So we're, you know, 40% done with the reset, and I know some people are still getting started, but any words of inspiration, advice, wisdom, concern, shock?
I think one of the things that I noticed on Facebook was somebody saying, it used to be that, and I'm paraphrasing, so if you're on the call, I'm sorry if I'm not saying it as eloquently as you, but it used to be that making decisions around food was, I should have this or I shouldn't have this, and now it's just, I'm going to have this. And I think that's an incredibly powerful statement, because we spend so much time, and I kind of brought it up a few minutes ago, we spend so much time giving ourselves grief for what we're doing, being hard on ourselves, and punishing ourselves. And I think that leads to what Melissa was talking about with the cycle of emotional eating. So now you've been empowered. Now you've been given some tools and some really good tools to support you and to help you understand a little bit more about eating healthy, eating unprocessed. So continue to do that and continue to post those feelings as they come up, because it's so helpful not just to hear my voice or Melissa's voice saying it, but also to hear it coming from other people. And if you have pictures, post them too, because I find that that's one of the best ways for people to really see that others are doing this and are actively involved in the process. And I think knowing that there are others doing that as well is the start of sort of building that relationship for yourself. So it's just saying we're, you know, we're embracing this moment of preparing the food. We're embracing the time that we spend doing it. We're getting accustomed to the ritual. And let's, you know, I know some people would rather be private about it. That's totally fine. But if you do have the desire, go ahead and share a picture on our Facebook group so we can all see what is going on and see the product and the results. I think, you know, whether I developed the recipe or whether one of the chefs developed the recipe or Melissa developed the recipe, when we look at it, I always think to myself, wow, that looks even better than when I made it myself. It looks beautiful on this plate. How that just so much love went into the preparation of that dish. And that is so important because food should not be your source of love. It shouldn't be your fulfilling yourself or some emotion that you need, but it should bring you love. It should bring you joy. And for so many people, it doesn't. So kind of if this is a catalyst for that in your life, I'm happy to be taking this journey along with you all.
Yeah, I love that. I think for me in my house, and what I see when I see those amazing like pictures and the care that people are taking and doing their prep, and I just see it as being an expression of love. And not only for, you know, for my family and for, you know, so many of the families on the reset, but it's really amazing to express that love for ourselves. Like, I love myself enough. I know we have a lot of people that are doing single serving reset, and for them to take the time and the energy and the care to do all the prep work and to do the reset, God, it's such an amazing way to express, like, that we're worth it, you know? We're worth it to feel great and to go out in the world with that extra energy and everything else. It's just absolutely amazing. And I know I just feel so lucky to be a part of it. So again, if there's any questions, we'll just a few more seconds before we end the call. If there's any questions and you just came on the call, it's *2 to raise your hand so that we can unmute you. And other than that, you guys, we just want you to have a really good week. We're in the Facebook boards supporting everyone, and please let us know what we can do to make the reset successful for you and any struggles that you have. And if you don't want to post it on Facebook, please just write in to Laura, our community manager, and we will be happy to answer any questions and help you. So, all right, cool. Well, Allison, have an amazing week, and everyone else on the call. And again, our calls are 10 a.m. on Monday morning. So we'll see you guys next week on the call. Thanks.
Thanks.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key.